times of testing, if there be any trial, it's for my benefit. It's a working for me, not against me. Come on, say amen. I'm glad for God. Amen. One writer said, if it had not been the Lord, which was on our side. Praise God. I'm glad he's on my side. Ain't you? Praise the Lord. Appreciate the offerings and all you've done to make our stay here so pleasant. And man, it's just a great thrill to get to come and to meet you good folks at Middlesboro, Mountain View. And just looking forward to what God's going to do, the way he's going to help us and meet with us. I'm expecting him to meet with us here tonight. I really am. I'm expecting him to meet with us. You know why? Where two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of thee. That's what Jesus said. And how many came in the name of the Lord here tonight? We got a lot more than two or three. So he promised that he's going to be in our midst. And I believe him. I believe him. Praise God. Ezekiel chapter 36. If you have your Bibles, would you turn there with me? Ezekiel chapter 36. The Lord has laid something on my heart to try to preach to us here this evening. And I'm just going to try to get in, do my best, and please the Lord. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 36. It is my desire that someone's life be changed before the end of this service. If I preach for 10 minutes or an hour and 10 minutes, the goal is for lives to encounter King Jesus. Now, I'm telling you, no man can encounter Jesus and leave the same any more than a man can take a hold of a 220 wire and remain unchanged. You grab a hold of 220, it's going to change some things in you. Come on now. When you get a hold of Jesus, when you have contact with the Lord, something's going to happen. Amen. Everywhere he went, folks left his presence, either loving him or hating him. And the church has been the same way ever since the day of Pentecost. Wherever the church went, folks loved them or hated them, one or the other. And I that's a sharp contrast to draw. But it's time for somebody to make up their mind whose side you're going to be on, who you're going to believe, who you're going to follow. How will you leave this world? I have a book, actually it's a set of books. I noticed the same set in your pastor's study there at his home. And it's called the All Series. And one of the books in that series of books is All the Saints and Sinners of the Bible. And there's a section in one of them books, if my memory serves me right, about last words or famous, the last words of famous people. And saints and sinners, that's right. And I remember reading in there about the last words of some of the saints of God that they said as they was leaving this world. Peter Marshall was the chaplain for the United States Congress. And when was carrying him out of his living room on a stretcher toward the ambulance, he looked at his wife, Catherine, and he said, I'll see you in the morning. Praise God. Somehow she felt like she understood what he was talking about. It wasn't when the next sun was going to rise on planet Earth. She somehow knew what he was saying. Amen. I'm telling you, I think it was John Wesley that said, the best of all is God is with us. Praise God. Hallelujah. But that famous businessman, P.T. Barnum, one half of the world famous Barnum and Bailey Circus, he was a wicked man, lived for nothing but money. And the last words that fell from his lips were, what were today's receipts? He wanted to know how much money he had made that day just before he left this world. I'm telling you, the Bible teaches us as the tree falls, so shall it lie. I believe it was the prophet Balaam that wanted to live the life of a wicked man, but he said, oh, that I might die the death of the righteous. If you're going to die the death of the righteous, you got to live the life of the righteous. Can you say amen? Now, I'm telling you, I wouldn't trade anything for the confidence that I have in my soul. When I pillow my head tonight and close my eyes to go to sleep, the last person I'm going to talk to is the Lord that redeemed me, the one that saved me. And I know that if I shouldn't wake up in this world in the morning, I'll wake up in another world. I'll wake up in the glory world. Hallelujah. And I wouldn't trade anything for that confidence that He's put in my heart. Somebody else could leave here with that same confidence tonight. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 36, we'll begin reading with verse 6. Prophesy concerning the land of Israel and say unto the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers and to the valleys, thus saith the Lord God. Behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because ye have borne the shame of the heathen. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up mine hand. Surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their shame. But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches, and yield your fruit to my people of Israel. For they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown. And I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it, and the cities shall be inhabited, and the waste shall be builded. And I will multiply upon you man and beast. They shall increase and bring fruit, and I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Praise God. Amen. I want to call your attention to four words that he said in verse 9. He said, I am for you. I am for you. Amen. What can I get you to lift your hands one more time? Just pray. Plead with the Lord to walk among us here tonight. Father, we do love you. We praise you. We worship you. We give you glory and honor for all that you've done, the way you've helped us, God, the way you've moved among us. We give you the praise for it. We ask you now to walk through this service. Let the good Holy Ghost do a work among us, God. Let someone's life be touched by the power of your presence. Help somebody, God, that's lost to be found. We'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, the church said amen. God, because of Israel's sins in Ezekiel's time, had let down the hedge of protection. And for Bible readers, you'll remember that he allowed a pagan king, a foreign army, to come into the land of Israel and Judah and conquer all that he saw right down to the city of Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar, with the army of the Chaldeans, from the land of Babylon, came into Israel, and it was because of Israel's sin that God let the hedge down and allowed the Babylonians to come and to conquer their land. Amen. I read and I began to study. When I looked through this, I found out something pretty interesting. Nebuchadnezzar took away the select young Jews as captives in three major stages, or three different raids that he made into the land of Israel. In his first raid, he took select young Jews over to the land of Babylon, among whom was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And it was Nebuchadnezzar's purpose to take especially the hierarchy of the land of Israel, those that were kin to the rulers and the leaders of the land. Those young men and young women were to be taken away to Babylon, hand-picked, sifted through, so that they could help Nebuchadnezzar understand the people that he had just conquered. About 8 years later, Nebuchadnezzar came with his armies and took away an estimated 10,000 more Jewish captives. It's thought that in this second raid, Ezekiel, along with his family, was carried away to the land of Babylon. About 11 years later, Nebuchadnezzar returned for the final time, and his army totally destroyed all that got in its path, along with the city of Jerusalem, the temple of God. And it took away the surviving Israelis over to the land of Babylon. I guess the psalmist described the mindset or the heart of the people the best when he said, "There by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. They said we hanged our harps in the willows thereof. For they that carried us away captive required of us a song. They said unto us, sing us one of the songs of Zion." They had heard how them Israelites worshiped and praised and played music and sang psalms unto their great God. But the reply of the Israelites was, "How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" Amen. Hey, I want you to understand something very clear. They would have never been carried away in the shackles and chains of Babylonian captivity if it had not been for their hard heart. If it had not been for their backsliding ways. If it had not been for their refusal to keep the commandments of God. And I want you to understand, God put Ezekiel as a prophet of God. He called him during probably one of the darkest times of Old Testament Israel or Old Testament history. He preached and prophesied, one man thought, for about 7 years before the destruction of Jerusalem, and for 15 years after that, he prophesied to the remnant that was over in the land of Babylon. I'm telling you, when he came before his congregations, he did not have a happy word. Amen. He was not patting them on the back and telling them how good things are going to work out. Amen. But every time Ezekiel came before that people, he preached to them, "It's your fault. You're the blame that we're all stuck here over the land of Babylon in this strange country." As a matter of fact, for 32 chapters of the book of Ezekiel, you'll be hard pressed to find one word of encouragement from Israel's prophet. Israel had sinned, and Ezekiel makes it very clear, God's judgment has came to you because of your sinfulness. I thought about that. I thought, oh God, we're in a generation when there's a lot of blind seers, a lot of smooth prophets, amen, a lot of ear ticklers, come on, just want to tell folks good things. I'm telling you, that old Joel Osteen, I've seen pictures of him, that $1 million smile on it. His gospel is all about you. You can be happy. You can be rich. You can be successful. I'm telling you, our gospel ought to be less about us and more about him. Hey, listen, he's not concerned so much with bringing me pleasure. He's concerned about me bringing him pleasure on his throne. Amen. Israel had sinned, and Ezekiel made it clear. Hear him as he speaks for God and prophesies in Ezekiel chapter 7, verses 6 and following. He said, "An end is come. The end is come. It watcheth for thee. Behold, it is come. The morning is come unto thee, O thou that dwellest in the land. The time is come. The day of trouble is near, and not the sounding again of the mountains. Now will I shortly pour out my fury upon thee, and accomplish mine anger upon thee. And I will judge thee according to thy ways, and recompense thee for all thine abominations." Did you hear the voice of the Lord through the prophet Ezekiel? Again, he says, "It's your fault. You lived like the devil. You sold to the wind, and now you're going to reap the whirlwind. You have sold to the flesh, and now you will reap corruption." Can I preach to us and tell us that same principle that God mentioned through Ezekiel the prophet in the Old Testament economy? That same principle is still in place in this New Testament time. I'm telling you, if you live after the flesh, if you live after sin, there's a payday down the road. For Paul said, "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall
shall he also reap. If you sow to the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption.
Amen. The same principle still holds true in our generation. I have met folks that come to the house of God looking for help. Genuine, honest folks who can't seem to understand the reason their life is in such shambles. I'm telling you, the old holiness preachers used to preach to us, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you're able to pay. Come on now. I'm telling you, sin will cost you everything, right down to your eternal soul. If you want to love, amen, figure out why, amen, things are not lining up, why all your eggs ain't in one basket, why there's holes in your money bag, and why you can't seem to make ends meet, the first place to look is in your soul. Is it well with thee? Is it all right between you and God? That's the first thing you need to fix before you worry about your marriage or the condition of your children. The first thing you gotta fix is your soul between you and God.
He will not bless you over top of sin. He won't bless you over top of your wickedness, your rebellion. Come on now.
Amen. Ezekiel made it clear. It's your fault, Israel. It's because of your sinful ways. Amen. I had a friend years ago that was in the Church of God, and they that worldly crowd got to wooing him, got to courting him, you know. Come on over to our side. That was pretty much a message they had for him. He had struggled a little bit, but he was in a church that taught holy living, that taught living a sanctified life. I'm telling you, he heard holiness preaching. As a matter of fact, the young man I'm talking about has actually been with me on the mission field, not to share the preaching with me, but he tagged along. I allowed him to come. I had confidence in him. He was a good boy. Hey, but that worldly crowd got to promising him, we can put you in a big parsonage. We can get you to preach in a big church. You can drive a big car. Come on now. Hey, it'll be better for your family. You'll get you a big paycheck every week if you'll just ease up a little bit. Just compromise a little bit. Come on. He went that direction. I'm telling you, his daddy had a big influence on him going that way. Several years after they had made the decision to compromise the things that they had been taught, that boy's daddy was laying at home in the bed dying with terminal cancer. The story got back to me. That young man had called somebody and told somebody he was questioning whether he had made the right decision. They said his old daddy looked up at him. Really wasn't old. He's just in his late 50s, early 60s. Dying with terminal cancer. I pulled that boy away from holiness to that worldly mess. Amen. His dad looked up at him and said, son, while I've been laying here, amen, not once have I worried, did I do too much? Have I went too far? He said, but the thing that troubles me in the midnight hour, the thing that robs me of my sleep, have I done enough? Did I do it right? Come on, are you going to help me right here? Can I tell you, when dying time comes, amen, it ain't going to matter to you what everybody else thought. It ain't going to matter to you the direction everybody else went. Only one thing is going to matter. Is it right between me and God? Did I do this God's way? Have I lived a life that will please Him? Ezekiel made it abundantly clear to the children of Israel. Amen. You're living in this dark time because of your sinfulness and your rebellion against God. But I saw something really where I want to preach to you. I felt like talking to somebody right here tonight. Listen, I tell you how I've been feeling today. I know the CDs and the tapes and all that. I know telling where they'll end up. I'm not preaching this for the church down the road or who's going to hear it this time.
sometime next year. I felt like preaching to somebody right here in this building. Is that all right? Hey, listen, there's something I seen in this portion of scripture. Israel had played the fool. They had sown to the wind. They was reaping what they sowed. But I saw a glimmer of hope. Amen. I saw something in this scripture. Amen. Right down at the end of captivity. Hey, God gives Ezekiel a glimpse of glory. Amen. He lets Ezekiel know, I'm about to turn it all around. Amen. He said, I want you to slip over. Amen. Away from Babylon. Go back to the land of Israel, man of God. And I want you to preach to the mountains. Preach to the hills. Preach to the rivers. Preach to the valleys. Thus saith the Lord. Ezekiel wasn't no stranger to that. Amen. In the next chapter, he's going to be in a valley filled with bones, prophesying to bones. Come on now. Hey, but God speaks to him in chapter 36. Says, go over in the land of Israel. Tromp across them hills. Walk across them rivers. Throw your head back, man of God, and prophesy to them, thus saith the Lord. Come on now. I have dealt with you in my fury. Hey, I'll say it again. God cannot bless you if you're living a sinful life. He will not bless you. Now, I've had people get plumb fighting mad. But I'll tell you what the New Testament teaches. Amen. That man came to Jesus and he said something like this. For we know that God heareth not sinners. I'll tell you, God hears one prayer from the sinner. And I was just like some of you. I'd be hugging up on the toilet on Saturday night or early Sunday morning. And I'd be praying, talking to God, Lord, if you'll get me through this. I'll never do it again. Come on. Hey, I was lying then just like I'd lied all day. Come on now. I made him promise after promise that I didn't keep. Let me tell you the kind of prayer that the Lord hears from the lips of a sinner. He hears a sincere cry for help. Amen. If you get humble enough to say, God, I need your help. I need you to rescue me. I need you to turn my life around. Then God will hear your prayer. But until then, he's not in a deal-making business. You got to come to him on his terms or do not come to him at all. Come on, say amen. His terms is you got to get humble enough to repent and forsake of your sin. You got to repent of it and forsake it. Amen. You got to ask him to cleanse you and wash you and set you free from it. Come on now. I'm telling you, all of this that Israel was going through, it was nothing more than the love of God. The Bible teaches us he chasteneth whom he loveth. That word chasteneth, that's a fancy word for whipping. Amen. We got whippings where I'm from. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, that just means I'm going to whip you. If I love you, I'm going to keep you. I'm going to correct you. I'm going to keep you in line. And so for 70 years in Babylonian captivity, amen, God put the hickory switch on the backs of the legs of the children of Israel, letting them know I love you and I want you to do right. I want you to make it to heaven in the end. I don't want you to be a rebel. I want you to turn it around. Hallelujah. Is that the way you raise yours? Come on now. My daddy told me, boy, stay away from that road. If I catch you in that road, I'm going to whoop you. You know how little boys are, don't you? I'd just eat close to that road as I could get. I'd stand right, just a step or two away from the white line. I'd pick up gravel at the end of the driveway and try to land it on the yellow line in the center. Come on here. Sometimes if I caught daddy not looking, I'd throw my ball across the road just so I'd get the thrill of running across the road to get it. What is it? Come on now. I tell you what it is. It's Adam alive in them. That's what makes them rebellious. Come on now. Amen. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child is what the Bible said. But what? But the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. Amen. Daddy, you know, sooner or later he caught me in that road. Guess what happened?
He put the hickory switch to me. Come on, say amen right there. He gave me a good reason never to go back. Can you say amen? You know what? Daddy knows something about that road that I, as a little boy, didn't have sense enough to realize. I seen them pretty shiny cars are traveling up and down the highway, but Daddy seen all them dead deer and coons and possums smushed in the middle of the road, and he didn't want that for his little boy. I didn't see the danger in it, but Daddy seen the danger. Come on now. God is the same way. And if you let him, he'll take you to heaven. But you got to surrender your will and submit your life to him and trust him to be your God. You got to trust him. That's what God was doing to the children of Israel. He was preparing them to live for him with a sincere heart. Now he speaks to the man of God and says, I'm about to turn it all around. He said in verse 9, for behold, I am for you. Amen. Listen, that rung through my heart when I thought about the condition of the children of Israel. How sad they must have been sitting by the rivers of Babylon. You know what that was? That was big irrigation ditches that the Babylonians had dug in that wilderness to irrigate their crops and their farmland. Amen. There by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. I'm telling you, but now God says, Ezekiel, I want you to go preach to the mountains and tell them to get ready. I'm about to send my children back to the house. I'm about to bring them home. Preach to the rivers, get ready. Preach to the trees, get ready. And by the way, Ezekiel, tell them, I am for you. Come on now. I'm telling you, it's not hard for me to imagine. There was probably people among the children of Israel who was not convinced of God's love, was not convinced of God's mercy. Amen. Some, like in my generation, that had been listening to the voice of the devil. Has the devil ever told any of you, if God was for you, I mean really for you, then why is this happening to you? If God loved you, I mean if he really loved you, why does he let you continue to go through this over and over and over? Anybody ever heard the enemy, their soul whisper that down inside them? I know we're living in a generation that they'll put that off on intellect. Oh, that's just being smart, asking them kind of questions. I'm telling you, this world's trying to teach us that man is getting wiser and wiser the further along we go along, as if we're going to become gods one of these days if we keep on and increasing and learning and knowledge and wisdom. I'm telling you what man's doing. They're getting further and further away from God. The more dependent they become on themselves, the less dependency they're putting on God. Help me right here, Lord. Hallelujah. God said, I am for you. Whew. That's what just kept ringing over and over in my soul. I really felt like telling somebody that tonight. God is for you. He ain't against you. Come on now. That's what Ezekiel had to go preach to Israel. Amen. Sitting in bondage, living the life of captivity, raising their children and their grandchildren in a foreign pagan land. God told me to tell you, he's for you. Whoa, hallelujah. That's what Ezekiel said. Hey, children, God sent me to preach to you. I am for you. Hallelujah. That's what Ezekiel told the children of Israel. What a glad day it must have been when it washed over some of their hearts. Hey, he's not been against us all this time. He's got this working out for our best interest. He's for us. He's a making a way. Hallelujah. You hear what he said? Not only did he say, I'm for you, he said, I will turn unto you. Man. It's one thing for him to send a messenger and a word. Tell him I'm for him. But it's something altogether different when God moves and actually turns towards you. Come on now. He said, I'm for him. Tell him I'm for him and I'm going to turn unto him. Phew. You know, that could very well be the reason Somebody's in this building tonight. It could be, Brother Pastor, that God is letting them know, I'm for you and I will turn unto you. Woo! Hallelujah! You know what it is about a sinner that makes them uncomfortable in the house of God, around the children of God? The same thing that made Adam and Eve uncomfortable when they rebelled against the commandment of God in the Garden of Eden. Do you remember what they did? God said, you can eat from every tree except one. There's one that grows in the midst of the garden that bears the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. You can't eat that fruit, for in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. You know what? In God's infinite wisdom, boy, it's a fancy way of saying He knows everything. In God's infinite wisdom, He was teaching Adam and Eve the knowledge of good and evil. Every day they'd pass by that tree and say, no, I'm not going to do it because God said not to do it. Come on, say amen. I'm not going to touch it because God said not to touch it. Come on. Every day that went by, they was gaining the knowledge, but they wanted to take a shortcut. They listened to the lie of the devil, and the devil talked them into taking the fruit. We lay all the blame on Eve. I'm telling you, Adam took it, and he knew that it was forbidden. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, when they realized what they had done, God came down in the cool of the day. You remember what Adam and Eve done? They went and hid themselves in the garden. Now, they had been walking with God. The way I feel about it, they'd probably been walking with Him every day. Now, God comes down looking for them. Instead of them crying out to God when they sinned, now God's hunting them. Adam! Adam, where art thou? Come on now. Boy, that story would have turned out a lot different if Adam would have fell down and went to crying, God! Oh, God! Where are you at? I need you. Come on now. Yes, it would have. Oh, but ain't you glad God's made a way? He broke the curse. Amen. Listen, people get uncomfortable in settings like this when they come to the house of God and they're not saved for that same reason. Sin in your life makes you uncomfortable in the presence of a holy God. Sin cannot bear to be in His presence without being uncomfortable. Come on, say amen. But I come to preach to you. Amen. You might have been uncomfortable in the presence of God up until tonight, but I really feel like in all of my heart, He said, sent me to preach to you. I am for you, and I will turn unto you. I'm telling you, He's a turning to you tonight. He's a looking at you tonight. He's a searching after your soul tonight. And the Bible said He left the 99 and He went into the wilderness to look for the one that went astray. He's turning to us. Right here in this service, lift your hands and let's love on Him right here for just a moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've got to warn you. I won't tell you. Don't think that it's going to be an easy way when you come to the Lord. You surrender to God's love. Don't think it's going to be an easy way. A lot of people make the mistake. A lot of preachers make the mistake of fooling people into believing, hoodwinking them into believing that this is the easiest way. And I'm telling you, this is not an easy way, but it is indeed the right way. Come on now. Amen. My daddy didn't just whoop me for playing in the road. He taught me some more things. You know what else He taught me? He said, anything worth having's worth working hard to get. Come on, say amen. Anything worth keeping's worth fighting to keep it. Come on, shout amen right there. That's not Bible. That's probably this carnal daddy saying right there. Trying to raise his boy. But I want to tell you something. When you're talking about coming to the Lord and Him turning to you, it's going to cost you something. He didn't stop. He said, I am for you. I will turn unto you. And ye shall be tilled and sown. I know we've read where Ezekiel was sent to prophesy to the mountains and the hills and the rivers and the valleys. But you know as well as I do, God didn't just call that man to go preach to inanimate objects, things that didn't have life in them. He called Ezekiel to preach to Israel. So he ain't just telling it to the mountains and the rocks and the grass and the rivers and the valleys. He's talking to the people of God. He said, God told me to tell you, he still loves you. He ain't forgot you. He's for you. Matter of fact, he told me to tell you he's coming. He's turning to you. He's looking at you right now. But he told me to go ahead and warn you. You shall be tilled and sown. Tilled and sown. We've heard that somewhere else, haven't we? We've heard it over in the book of Hosea chapter 10. Hosea the prophet told the children of God, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Amen. He said it's time to plow up the heart that's laid dormant for so long and not brought forth any fruit for God. It's time to break it up and seek the Lord till he come and begin to rain righteousness upon you. We know about being tilled and sown, don't we? My daddy had a garden when I was a boy. And we're from Randolph County, North Carolina, right in the center of the state. And I can tell this is the same kind of country right through here. It did not matter. Daddy never had a tractor. He always had a tiller. He'd get the neighbor once a year to come turn that garden over in the fall, and it'd lay all winter. And he'd get him to come back in the spring, level it a little bit, you know, break it up a little bit, and then he'd get that rototiller out, and he'd start tilling that garden. And I'm telling you, the kind of land it was, we always had a great crop of rocks. Rocks always did real good. Amen. Nothing else done good, the rocks always put out good. Guess whose job it was to throw the rocks out of the garden? I can take you to my mommy's house where she's still living. I can show you them big piles of rocks that Brother Teague, when he was a boy, throwed out of that garden, all around the edges of that garden. That was my job. I used to wonder, all these years we've lived here, all of these springs, we went through this same ritual year after year after year. Where's all these rocks coming from? They just got away, working herself to the top. When you get to plowing on that ground, you get to tilling on it, it just works its way right to the top. You know what? God said to Israel, that's what I'm going to do to you so you can please me, so you can live for me. It ain't always going to feel good. It ain't always going to be a pleasant experience. But keep in mind, I have your best interest in mind. I'm trying to keep you out of hell. I'm trying to get you to come to my good heaven. I'm going to tell you. When I plow through your life, everything that's impure, everything that does not belong, everything that's going to hinder a good crop of godliness from producing in your life is going to be brought right to the top. And you're going to have to get a hand on it and throw it out of God's garden. Come on, say amen. I'm telling you, hey, listen, for 21 years, I've been going through it over and over and over, Brother Rodney Suffrage. It's when I think I'm on top of it, God drags his plow through my heart again. And what do you know? There's another crop of rocks. Something else I need to throw to the side. Something else that's going to hinder the growth of God's goodness in my life. Come on now. I'm telling you, I got to read not too long ago about that fig tree Jesus said was cumbering the ground. Come on. Amen. He drew near to it expecting to find figs. And when he found none, the Bible said he cursed it. And presently it withered up and died. Come on now. I'm telling you, I thought about that man. Amen. That come into his garden looking for fruit. And he found that fig tree. He said, for 2 years in a row, I've come looking for fruit on this tree and I found none. He told the gardener, cut it down and cast it into the fire. But that good husbandman that had been tending it and taking care of it, he pleaded with the goodman of the house. He said, give me one more year. Let me dig around it one more time. Let me fertilize it one more time. Just when I think God ought to just cut me down. He digs around me one more time. Fertilize me one more time. Years ago, my grandfather got sick. My grandpa on my mommy's side. He was in the hospital and I was a young preacher and I was working on a message out of Jeremiah. I think it's the 18th chapter where Jeremiah goes down to the potter's house. And my grandpa, they called me late one night and told me he's in the hospital, a town probably 150 miles away. We jumped in the car and went. We got there way up in the wee hours of the morning. And I went down that little chapel and I prayed just right by myself, me and God. Got to praying for Papa and crying out, asking God to spare him. And God got to working on me about Jeremiah going down to the potter's house. When I got finished praying and went back up into the family waiting room, there's working on Papa, and family members started coming in there near where we live in Ashburn. There's a neighboring town called Seagrove, North Carolina. Seagrove is famous all throughout the Southeast for its pottery. They have a special kind of clay in that particular part of our state. A lot of pottery shops, a lot of pottery's been made there through the years, and people will drive from all over just to buy that pottery in that particular part of the country. And I had a cousin that showed up to that family waiting room that was 16 or 17 years old that just had went to work in the potter's shop. I started asking him about that process, and really what God was dealing with me about was not so much the work of the potter, but I was concerned about the clay. I asked that boy, I said, tell me about the clay. Is anything special? Just go through it and tell me all about that clay. He began to explain to me that a lot of that clay does not come from that part of North Carolina. They ship it in from all across the country on big trucks. He said, the first thing we do when we unload that clay off a truck, we put it in the machine called the sifter. He said the sifter puts that clay through a process and it sifts out everything that shouldn't be there. Little pebbles, stones, sticks, rocks, leaves, anything that's going to hinder the work of the potter. He said it's very important that the clay be pure before it ever gets to the wheel. Because if there's a stone or a stick or a clob of dried clay, while the potter's trying to make the vessel, it'll be marred. And he'll have to start all over again. I thought, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And now I got to thinking how important it is for your life and my life for God to put his hands down in us as his clay. You know, the Bible talks about him being the potter and us being the clay. You know why he does? He, the same thing is telling us. It's to get every impurity out. Every little stick, every stone, every root of bitterness, any unforgiveness. Amen. Anything that's in there that should not be there. God, through a process, sifts our life and brings those impurities to the surface. That's been talked about many different ways in the Bible. Peter said trials does it. He said the saint tried with trials. It's like gold being purified in the fire. Come on now. I'm telling you, God's intention is for us to do right. Amen. To be blessed and to make it to heaven someday. Part of that process of getting us there is him tilling us, but he didn't stop. He said, you shall be tilled and sown. You know what happens after you till something up? You got the ground right and all the rocks and the stumps and everything shouldn't be there is gone. Then you can come along behind that tiller and you can sow whatever it is you want to grow on that patch of ground. Now God does the sowing. Amen. I'm telling you, this good word of God's a seed. That's another message for another night. I really felt like preaching to somebody right here in this building. God ain't against you. He ain't against you. He's for you. But you know what? You can keep your neck stiff. You can bow your back up. You ever notice? I'm telling you, when I was a boy, they didn't have to teach me how to lie. It just come natural. That's right. They didn't have to teach me how to cheat, steal. Just come natural. Come on now. Hey, before you judge me, let me go ahead and tell you it come natural for you too. Right down to them. I see her back there on the back row with a little baby. Boy, that baby's being so sweet and just so quiet and so good right here in the house of God. But there's time. Now, this ain't a prophecy. I'm just a daddy, all right? There's times that little baby gets mad and gets red in the face and squeezes this little fist. And mine used to ball her toes up, bow her back and holler out. Come on now. That's Adam. That's a carnal nature. Alive and well. Come on, say amen. That's a carnal nature. Alive and well. That's a nature that wants it my way or no way at all. That's right. But you know what? God saves us from that. He rescues us, not just from sin, but He rescues us from ourself. Ain't you glad? Ain't you glad? Myself was trying to destroy me. I was walking, running really down a road of destruction, headed headlong toward the pit. Didn't even know it. But God in His mercy and grace. I like what the brother said the other day when he was testifying how Jesus throwed Himself out in front of him and stopped him before he got to the pit. Hallelujah. That's the way I feel too. He throwed Himself right out in front of me. I'm going to quit right here. I was thinking about this today, and God was speaking to me, my heart, dealing with me about when I first got a hold of this and God first got a hold of me. I remember years ago, God gave me, I don't know, if you can call it a dream or a vision or, you know, I said God give it to me. It may even be just a figment of my wild imagination. But I'll never forget, it come to me, it was a dream. And I seen myself before I was saved down in an awful pit. The sides of that pit was just slick. Boy, I was struggling trying to get out of there just with everything I had. I was desperately trying. I could see the light. I mean, I could see the top of it, but it was just out of reach. And the harder I struggled to get out, the filthier I became. Just dirty, filthy in that muck, in that mire. You know what else I saw in that dream? I saw a man with a solid white garment on a snow white horse that rode up right to the edge of that pit. And he looked down yonder on me. And I just froze. I'm looking up out of that pit. There's that beautiful white horse and that wonderful man and that snow white garment. You know what he did? In my dream, he reached down. He reached down to give me a hand up out of that pit. And I tell you what happened. When he reached down to where I was, I drew back from him. Because I'm thinking, look how filthy I am. Look how dirty I am. I can't touch him. He's beautiful. His clothes are so pure and clean. I can't filthy him up with this mess that's all over me. But you know what happened in that dream? That man that was on that white horse, he dismounted. He stepped over off that horse and he got down on his knees and he reached way down in that pit where I was. Come on now. And he took a hold of me and I took a hold of him. And here's how it happened in that dream. Now you can take it with a grain of salt. I'm telling you, it might have been too much pizza. I don't know. I feel like it was the Lord. I really do. In that dream, I tell you what happened. In an instant, as soon as our hands locked, in a moment, I'm riding down the road on the back of that white horse, hugged up to that man with that snow white robe on. You know what? It flashes through my mind. Oh no! I've got him dirty. I've got this beautiful clean horse dirty. I've got all this filthy. I've messed all of this up. But you know what? When I came to myself and I got to looking around, instead of me
making him dirty. He had made me clean, and I had on a white robe just like he had on. Come on, you're going to help me right here. I'm telling you, I was thinking about that today, Pastor. I thought, great God of heaven, it could happen to somebody else right here tonight in this service. I believe he's reaching down for you with a nail-scarred hand. And if you'll let him, he'll make you clean. He'll make you clean. Somebody lift your hands right here and love on Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am for you. That's what he said. I am for you. I am for you. Hallelujah. Maybe there's somebody here tonight. Church, would you bow your heads with me? Just begin to pray and ask the Holy Ghost to meet with us. In this altar time, I need to pray in church right here for just a few moments. Just a few moments. Maybe there's somebody here tonight. God's dealing with your heart. I'm ready to be clean, preacher. I'm ready for the Lord to change me. I'm tired of being the man I've been. I'm tired of being the woman I've been. I need to turn around. Maybe you're like me, that man down in the pit. The harder you try, the harder you struggle to get yourself up out of there, the dirtier and more filthy you become with the muck and the mud in that pit. You know why that is? You can't rescue yourself. You'll never be able to climb up out of there. Not by yourself. You got to have a helping hand. You got to have the Lord come by, lift you up out of that mess. That sin that holds you bound in the pit. You got to have him to break that cycle, that curse that's got a hold of your life. Are you here and you'd like to pray? While this church is praying, asking the Lord to help you, would you come? Just come from right where you are to this altar. And let's talk to the Lord about this. Is there somebody right here tonight? Brother Teague, I'm tired of being who I am. I'm ready for a turnaround. I'm tired of my life being a never-ending cycle of pain and heartache, calamity. I'm tired of the hurt. I'm tired of all the foolishness. I'm ready for the Lord to set me free. I'm ready for a turnaround. Is that you? Is that how you're feeling? Why don't you come to this altar right now? In the name of Jesus. He'll give you a turnaround. Come on and pray, church. Hallelujah. Who'll be the first one to come? Brother Teague, I'm ready to get loose. I'm ready to be free. Now's the time. Come on. Come on to this altar. Let's talk to him together.
He said to carry on. When he said this.
He's waiting on you. If you knew how wonderful life can be. If I had the vocabulary to describe to you. Oh, listen, I told you. It's not always pleasant. It's not always just wonderful every day. I'm telling you, there is something great about it. Living for Jesus. Living for God. Being free from the power of sin. Why don't you come right now? Come on to this altar. Let's talk to him. Come on. Come on, let's pray. Come on right now.
The name of Jesus. And he gave me the strength to carry on. He said,
why don't you come?
Let God help. I was dying.
Why don't you come? Let the Lord work it out for you.
And the blood of my transgression, no one will ever be found. The Lord has
really, you know,
loving his love.
For your best interest.
His forgiveness and his voice is spoken.
Won't you
I had to run, run, but he said, live. Song, and he gave on the ground. Beaten and battered from the harsh air of the world, the Lord has smiled. Saw me about to die. With compassion in His voice He spoke.
Let the Lord help you out here tonight. He'll give Him a chance. He's for you. He's for you.
When He said, "Sing," I heard redemption song.
Oh, He gave me the strength
to carry on. When He said, "Live,"
when He said,
just real quick, like, I want to sing. If you'll send me an E chord, I like that part there. I believe Brother Teague read that in that 11th verse, and he said, "And I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings."
Oh, yes.
Do better unto you than at your beginnings. It can be better.
Yes.
God gives brand new starts. And he said, and you shall know that I am the Lord. I talked to a guy on the phone since Monday, working out a deal about a vehicle today. Talked to him several times. Never hadn't met him. He told me, I talked to him last Friday, I think it was, and he said, I said something about going down there on Saturday. He said, I'm 70 years old, so I don't work on Saturday. It's all right. So I talked to him this week several times. We finally got some stuff worked out. Me and my wife drove down to West Knoxville today. She said, I'm going to look out here at some of these vehicles while you go in there and take care of this. I walked in that big showroom, Beatty Chevrolet. Guy walked up. They asked me who I was there to see. I told him. A guy walked up, introduced himself, said, I'm Bill Lee. He said, we get this started. Said, let me have your driver's license. I'll make a copy of your license. He went and done that. Just a matter of a few minutes, he come back. He said, I'll go right over here. He said, talk to this guy. I said, see if he can get you in this business office. And he said, we'll get this started. He turned and walked in that office, not much farther than lit this church, and fell just like that with a heart attack. You talking about pandemonium setting in. When he left, when the ambulance carried him out of there, he was alive. That's all I know. I talked to the boy that finally got the paperwork done. He said, I grew up beside him. He's never been sick a day in his life.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
You don't have a clue.
Oh, God.
Brother Tig talking about that dream that he had. And before he ever said that, this song's on my mind. Say, oh, God. When I think of where I came from and how Jesus brought me out. From a life of shame and sorrow, lost in sin without a doubt. With all my heart, I want to praise Him for the love He's given me. When the precious hand of Jesus reach way down and lifted me. And from the depth of the pit, I tried so hard that I couldn't touch you. There in my despair, I cried so loud, yet it seemed He didn't hear me. Lost and undone, full of sin and so corrupt. God's hand reached by the dew, then I could reach up. Like a man locked up in prison with no one to go my bail. Every time I sought for freedom, all endeavors only failed. There I was in sin's dark prison, bound by chains of misery, until the Lord paid me a visit, unlocked my cell, God set me free. And from the depths of the pit, I tried so hard that I could touch you. There in my despair, pray, church, pray.
So loud, yet it seemed
He didn't hear me. Lost
sin and so corrupt. God's hand reached for the deal that I could reach. Do you remember how it was? Like a man locked up in prison with no one to go my bail. Time I sought of freedom, all endeavors only failed. There I was in sin's dark prison, bound by chains of misery, until the Lord paid me a visit, unlocked my cell, God set me free. And from the depth of the pit, I tried so hard, but I couldn't touch Him. It was there in my despair, I cried so loud, yet it seemed He didn't hear me. I was lost and undone, full of sin and so corrupt. God's hand reached further down than I could reach up. And from the depths of the pit, I tried so hard, I just couldn't touch Him. It was there in my despair, I cried so loud, yet it seemed He didn't hear me. I was lost and undone, so full of sin and so corrupt. But God's hand reached further down
than I could reach up.
Like a man locked up in prison with no one to go my bail. Every time I sought for freedom, all endeavor only failed. There I was in sin's dark prison, bound by chains of misery, until the Lord paid me a visit, unlocked my cell, God set me free. And from the depths of the pit, I tried so hard, but I couldn't touch Him.
There in my despair, I tried so loud, yet it seemed He didn't hear me.
Yeah.
I tried so hard, but I couldn't touch him. He was there in my despair. I cried so loud, yet it seemed he didn't hear me. Lord, and how Jesus brought me out from a life of shame and sorrow, lost in sin without a doubt. Though my heart, I want to praise him for the love he's given me. Way down and lifted me, and from the depth of the pit I tried so hard, but I couldn't touch him.
There in my despair I cried so loud, yet it seemed
he didn't hear me.
Come on, mama. Come on.
Oh, Lord.
Come on. Come on.
Heaven and done.
Come on, church. Come on.
Was here.
Come on.
And so corrupt. But God said,
reach
for the hell that I could reach out.
And from the depth of the pit, I tried so hard, but I couldn't touch you. There in my despair, I cried so hard, yet it seemed he didn't hear me. Lost, dead and done, full of sin, it's so corrupt.
But God's hand
reached for the dew.
Then I could reach out.
When I think of where I came from and how Jesus brought me out. From a life of shame and sorrow, lost in sin, without a doubt. With all my heart, I want to praise him for the love he's to me.
Oh, Jesus.
With the precious hand of Jesus,
he reached
way down.
He lifted me.
And from the depth of the pit, I tried so hard,
but I could touch
you. There in my despair, I cried so loud, yet it seemed he didn't hear me. Lost, dead and done, full of sin, and so corrupt.
But God's hand,
God's hand,
God's hand,
for the dead, oh, that I could reach out. And from
the depth of the pit, I tried so hard.
Oh, I tried hard in the past, but I couldn't touch him. But tonight God's turned toward me. Tonight God's looking to me. Tonight God's extending his hand up to me. Tonight God has said, I'm for you.
Hear me.
I've done. I was full of sin. I saw the rock. But God's hand.
God's hand reached for the dead. And I could reach up.
Like a man locked up in prison with no one to go my bail. Every time I sought for freedom, all endeavors only failed. There I was in sin's dark prison, bound by chains of misery. Until the Lord paid me a visit, He unlocked my soul.
God set me free. And from the death of the pen, I tried so hard that I could touch Him. There in my despair, I cried so loud, yet it seemed He didn't hear me. I was lost in a sundown full of sin and so corrupt. But God's hand
reached for the day
that I could reach up.
Real what can wash away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Well, oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. No other fountain I know. The blood of Jesus can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Well, oh, precious is the blood
that makes me white as snow.
Pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Well, oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. Well, there's no, no, no. The blood of Jesus.
Well, nothing can or sin atone. Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, not a good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow.
And peace,
oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, and
this is all my righteousness.
Nothing but the blood of
Jesus. Well, oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. No other fountain I know. I said nothing but the blood.
Away my sin.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.